Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
But I want to bring you the news, and the good news is that hell shall not prevail. When you know the Word of God, it tempers you against reacting to what's going on in our culture. We have great days in our culture. We have disastrous days in our culture. We have great trends. We have terrible trends. We have days where it looks like the sun is shining again. And then we have other days where it seems to be bleak. But if you know the Word of God, all of that is tempered by the fact that we win. It's amazing what winning will do to you. I promise you that we win. It is written, spoken by Jesus himself, and written and recorded in his own word. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, Jesus said. And so when I see trends that I know that are bad in the church, I say, that's all right. The ship will right itself. God knows exactly what he's doing. But there is a real adversary, and he comes every day. If the devil can't come to you personally every day, he'll send a demon spirit to you to work on you every day. The good news is, if you win consistently, it builds your confidence. I have tremendous confidence that I'm victorious over the devil. I told you a few days ago about one of the doctors I have. And he said, Pastor, I'm a strong Christian, but not as strong as my wife. He said, I get up resisting the devil every day. Said she gets up looking for him. Said she wants to give him a good beating before breakfast every day. He said she does that every day. He said, my wife is a super Christian. Friend, you get victorious a few times, and it will build your confidence. But the devil has many devices, but the Bible said we should not be ignorant of them. One of the greatest devices the devil uses is lies. That's the reason why the Bible tells us to be truthful and not in lies. That means we're not to tell them, but we're not to receive them. When I was younger, I used to believe everything somebody told me. And now I ask them to bring a picture. And when they bring a picture, I've got to make sure that it wasn't doctored sometime. I'm not quick to believe things on other people like I used to be. I don't believe a lot of the things I see in the news. I don't believe most of what I see on social media. I don't even believe what some pastors and Christians tell me. The Bible said that the devil is a liar and the father of it. So when you tell a lie, you're in bad company, especially if it is a railing accusation against a child of God. The greatest target of the devil is your mind. I know some of us sometimes have pain in our back or our knees. We think that's the devil's greatest target. It's not. It can be a target, but the greatest target the devil has is your mind. Your mind. He wants to destroy you through your thought process. But the Bible said in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. It's a spirit, the spirit of fear. There is literally a spirit of fear. It's literally a spirit of fear in this nation, in this world. But the Bible said God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. When you get the mind of Christ and the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, no weapon formed against you can prosper. It doesn't matter how much the devil attacks your mind, you're going to be an overcomer. By his lies, he wants to attack our self-esteem. He wants to attack our faith. He wants to attack our authority in Christ. Number one, I was talking to Sister Diana yesterday about different people, different races, different positions in life. And my understanding is that we're all created equal. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how little money you got, how much money you got, where you. We're all created in God equally, equally. And when you understand that, when you realize we're all created equally, it gives you a confidence about yourself. Some people have a superiority complex. Most people don't. Most people have an inferiority complex. You feel like somebody's better than you. I can tell you there's nobody in the world better than you are. You were made in the image of Almighty God. So he wants to question our self-esteem. He wants to attack our faith. And he wants to say that we don't have the authority to subdue him. All of those are lies. He lies about you, and that's terrible. He lies to God about you. He lies to demons about you. He lies to devils about you. He lies to people about you. And all of those are terrible. But the worst thing he does is he lies to you about you. When they were supposed to inherit the promised land, they came back defeated. 10 of the 12 came back defeated. Why? Because they believed the devil's lie, which said, you are as grasshoppers. And they said, because we were as grasshoppers in our sight, we became as grasshoppers in their sight. It's important that you know who you are in Christ. It's important that you realize that you are a son of God. A Greek scholar tried to teach me one time that Jesus was God, but he was not the Son of God. I said, that's a terrible heresy. It's not enough for Jesus to be God. He has to be the Son of God. Because if he is the first begotten of God, it means there can be others. If he's not the first begotten, there's no others. Because he is the first begotten Son of God, that means I can become a son of God. As many people as believe on him, gives he the power to become the sons of God. It's important that you know that, or you will not be victorious over the devil. When David went to fight Goliath, everybody but David doubted him because of his stature and his youth. Both of those are viewed to be liabilities in their minds. But David said, I'm going because I knew who I am. And he separated himself from Goliath by talking about that. He said, you uncircumcised Philistine. In other words, you don't have a covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, I am assured when I believed in Christ and got baptized in Jesus and filled with his spirit and become a follower of Christ, I have a covenant with him. I am circumcised by the Holy Spirit. That means that I have a new heart. I'm a different individual than I was before I got saved, and a different individual than a lot of people in this world. It gives me confidence. It gives me authority. It tells the devil, you can't destroy his self-esteem. You can't take away his faith. And you surely cannot destroy his authority in Christ. He knows that he's like David. It has nothing to do with his age and nothing to do with his stature and everything to do with his covenant. Jesus Christ is my everything. He's my friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is my Savior, my baptizer. He is my God and my Lord and my shepherd. He is my provider and my protector. I have tremendous authority in Jesus Christ. And every day, somewhere during that day, I'll have to rebuke a demon or two because they're not sure that I know who I am. They know who I am, but if I don't know who I am, they can still take advantage of me. So get up every morning and let the world know I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I live in him. I move in him. I have my being in him. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. And the devil is a liar, but I'm not ignorant of his devices. And I belong to the church of the living God. And hell cannot prevail against this church that is built on the rock of the revelation. You see, when Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, the Catholic Church teaches that means that it's built upon the rock of the Catholic Church. No, it's built upon the rock of revelation that Peter had, because Jesus preceded that by saying, who do men say that I am? And they rattled off a number, a list of names. And Jesus said, who do you say I am? He said, I say that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. See, you have to know who he is before you know who he is. I'm always marvel when I watch television and I see the most wealthy people in the world. You see, that guy lost $28 billion Friday. He lost $28 billion. He filed bankruptcy the next day. $28 billion. I'm glad I didn't have $28 billion to lose, because, my friend, that's hard to get over. You talk about depression. That's tough. But it doesn't matter about your wealth. It doesn't matter about your lack thereof. It matters about one thing. Do you know who Christ is? And I'm always amazed at these rich people on television and famous people, and they're well into their career. I'm just searching for my identity and who I am. There is no identity unless you know who Jesus is. And once you know who Jesus is, you know who you have become, and suddenly you have got power. And so the devil wants to tell you that you are a failure, but you know what Jeremiah said? God said, I know the plans I have for you, that you will succeed and not fail. And so you realize that the devil says in Revelation 1 and 10, the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of the brethren. Every day the devil is lying about you. But the Bible said he's cast down every day. There's so many things that happen every day. Do you know that? So many people think they get saved and nothing happens till they die. Friend, it's a daily life. You get daily bread. You die daily. His mercy is fresh daily, every morning. And the accuser that is trying to sabotage you, he's cast down every day, Revelation 1 and 10 said. Satan is God's greatest enemy, and therefore he is the enemy of Christians. He says, look at your sinfulness. But God says in Hebrews 12, 2, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. The devil is a liar, and he is a father of it. The number one lie the devil says is your sin is too great. I've shared this story a dozen times because it shocked me. It flabbergasted me. I was just amazed. This wonderful Baptist man came into my office next door in the old building, and he talked to Bohan about his sins and wanted to know if he could be saved. And he was a Baptist. And number one, Baptists believe you're saved once and you're always saved. They believe in eternal security. And there he was, a Baptist, denying not only the Bible, but denying his own denomination. We talked a while, and finally I was assuring that God has forgiven him for everything and can. And all of a sudden, he took a computer printout and just flung it like that and held on to it. He just ratted out there about 12 feet. I said, what is that? He said, that's my sins. Let me explain to you. With all there is to do in God's kingdom, he does not want you to take a fortnight typing all your sins on a computer. He wants you to get up and do the work of God. That's what he wants you to do. But he said, this is all of my sins. I'm not sure that God can forgive me. Ladies and gentlemen, to deny the forgiving ability of God is an onslaught against God. It's not humility. It's saying that God's blood is not as great as my sin. But I promise you, the blood of Jesus is greater. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. So the number one sin, number one lie tells you, your sin is too great. But I got news for you. You don't even get to be in the hall of fame in hell. You're not the biggest sinner because Paul took that role. He said, chiefest of sinners. I am the chiefest of sinners. I know many of us feel that way, but no matter how you feel, it doesn't matter what you feel. It matters what God says. And God says that by his blood, your sins are remitted. And I believe that. I shared with you a story that I met a missionary, and he told me a wonderful story about going and taking a church in a mission field. That church had been there many years. He wasn't the first missionary. He followed several others. But all the missionaries would fail in that particular country because there was a man there in that congregation that had great influence in the congregation. And he would do fine when the missionary first landed in that country and in that village. He did fine until he had a problem with them. He had a falling out with them, and he was used of the devil. He would stand up in like a testimony service, and he had power of the devil. He would get up, and he would begin to recite all of their sins from their birth until the present moment. And then that would cause all the people to lose faith in them, and then they'd have to leave. And so this new missionary came, and he just loved him for a while like he always did. But then he crossed him, and he got mad. He stood up one day, and he started to tell all the sins. And he said, this is so-and-so. And he went through things, and every sin was just little boyish pranks, like he stole an apple. He cheated at marble, just little things. And then he stopped, and he said, I got a perfect read on you till you were 11 years of age. Preacher, I don't have nothing after 11 age. According to what I see, you're only 11 years old. The pastor said, oh, that's easy. When I was 11 years old, I gave my life to Christ and got baptized, and you don't have a record of me since then because Satan doesn't have a record because there is no record of anything bad I did. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you the devil is a liar. There's not a person in this building, not a person in this building that has sinned so greatly that God cannot, will not, has not forgiven you. And the devil wants to whisper that in your ear, because if he can do that, he can keep you from getting out of the starting gate to being what God is going to call you to be. You're going to be magnificent and powerful. You're going to possess the land. You're not a lying grasshopper. You're not a sinful saint. You have been washed in the blood of the living God, and because of that, you know your posture and position in Jesus. So get up and celebrate. When you praise God, you're doing so many things. You're not only extolling the virtues of God, you're not only testifying about things that God has done, but you're saying, look what God has done in my life. He has erased my past as bad as it was, and he has laid out a glorious future for me that Satan cannot interfere with. The devil will tell you nobody loves you. Don't hold your hand up. There's going to be a day in your life, and probably several days, where you will feel like nobody loves you. My wife don't love me. My husband don't love me. My friends don't love me. My family. That's the devil. He just keeps pecking. One thing about the devil, he is persistent. He ought to have quit a long time ago. It's over, Mr. Trump. It's over, devil. It's time for you to move off the scene now, but you just can't get that in your mind. That's ego. Ego wants to keep you on the stage well above your time. Devil, it's over. It's over. You're a liar. I do not receive your lies. I just don't receive them. I believe there are people that love me. That's the reason why we have birthdays, so people can tell us that they love us. It's a wonderful thing when people assure you that they love you, especially those that know you best. They still say, I love you. It's a wonderful thing when that's confessed to you. But the devil, every day of your life, is going to repeat the lie that you're not loved, just hoping that someday that you will believe that. But friend, I want to tell you that no matter if you're Lazarus the beggar, laying at the gate, and the man is rich and lives in this beautiful home, and you lay there, and every day you're saying, nobody loves me. Sooner or later, the angels are going to come. The Bible said when the beggar died, the angels came. I'm loved in three worlds. I'm loved in earth. I'm loved in the family of the church. And I'm loved in the kingdom of God in heaven itself. God made sure of that, and so are you. You need to get up every day and assure yourself, I am loved, and the devil is a liar. Some of you might be tired of this story, but it made a greater impression on me, perhaps, than it did her. In the building next door on Wednesday nights, they would always get the building prepared, and it was so orderly. And there was always a downtime, about an hour to an hour and a half, when they had the building ready. They had the lights on. There's nobody there. Everybody's gone. The janitors are somewhere. There's never anybody in that room at that time. And that was the time that I used to like to go out and walk in the auditorium. And I'd go from pew to pew, and I'd say, whoever sits here, let them be blessed tonight. Let them be touched. And I just loved to be in the building, in the sanctuary at that time. And as I was doing that, I turned around and looked, and there was a lady standing in the double doors of that church. I never will forget this young lady. She was a young lady, probably in her late 20s. And when I saw her, the Holy Spirit prompted me what to do. She was a real large lady. She was not a beautiful lady. But she was just there. And the Lord said, go back and love her. Hug her. I just walked back, never seen her in my life. She'd never been in the middle. I put both her arms around her, and I said, I love you. And she just melted. She just began to weep uncontrollably. And she said, nobody's ever told me that in my life. She said, I was born in Dallas. My parents didn't want me. They put me in a basket, and they put me on the doorsteps in a big house. And that couple came and found me in that basket. They adopted me and said they put me through school. They fed me. They clothed me. They took care of me. But they were cold people. Not one time did they ever tell me that they loved me. She said, I've never had a date. I've never had a boy tell me he loves me. I've never had a good friend. Nobody ever told me that before. I said, well, I love you, and there's going to be a whole church full of people here that love you, but most of all, God loves you. That night, she gave her life to Christ. She got filled with the Holy Spirit. We baptized her, and she came to this church for years, before she died. But it changed her life because 20-some years she'd been listening to the devil. I can promise you, if you don't have an ear to discern the voice of God from the voice of the devil, you're going to live a very miserable life. Because the devil's not a good devil. He's a lying devil. He's going to tell you you're ugly. He's going to tell you you're stupid. He's going to tell you nobody loves you. He's going to tell you that you're a sinner. He's going to tell you you're on your way to hell. Every day he is going to talk to you. But friend, you've got to get to the place where you know the Word of God. That's the reason why it's so vital that every Christian not only gets saved, but they learn the Word of God for themselves. Because the Word of God, when I have feelings, and we all have feelings, and feelings can be great, but they can be killers. And when I have feelings that are not good, I know the Scripture well enough that I can go to that verse and find the authority over that feeling and say, that's just another lie of the devil. I'm not going to accept it because I know what the Bible says. There's such validity, such strength, such power in learning what the Word of God says. It will give you that blessed assurance. It will give you that great confidence. And the Bible said, faith cometh by the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. You don't have to learn all of it because all of it's not written to you. Some of it's written as warnings to those that do not know Christ. It's written as warnings to this world. I avoid a lot of those chapters because they just don't apply to me. But I search the Word of God. Search the Word of God, for you think you have salvation, for you think you have the Word of life. Search the Word of God. Find the promises of God. Get you a weapon that no matter what's happening in your life, you'll be able to stand against the devil and resist him, and he will flee from you. The devil will attack you just for being a Christian. But if you decide that you want to be a productive Christian, in other words, you want to have a ministry, what the Bible calls the ministry of the saints, the devil will double down on you. If the Bible says those that minister in the Word should be worthy of double honor, you're also going to have double attack. He's going to come against you. The only thing the devil rejoices more about than when somebody falls is when a Christian leader falls, somebody that has influence. God said to David when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, you have given the enemy the ability to commit sin or influence or words against you. That's what the devil wants to do. And so when you say, I'm going to work in the kingdom of God, I'm going to get active in the church, the devil's going to come to you with tremendous lies. He's going to tell you that you serve and nobody cares. Let me tell you, if you serve in this church, there are people that care. If you're an usher, if you're a teacher, whatever you do in this church, if you're a greeter, if you're on the worship team, somebody cares. Somebody appreciates it. And most of all, God sees you serving in his kingdom. But the devil is a liar. And he's going to say, nobody cares whether you work for God or not. Devil, you are a liar. The world needs its soldiers, but more than that, the church needs its soldiers. Be not double-minded. Be not entered into the world. Be a soldier worthy of honor, that you are for God, with God, doing the battle of the Lord. And the attack will come. I promise you that. Years ago, I was preaching in Colorado. I preached a sermon. I never had preached it before. But I preached a sermon in that camp meeting. And when I got through, one of my heroes, when I was a boy in Indiana, was sitting on the back seat. And he was one of the greatest pulpiteers I've ever heard. He pastored a small church in Indiana. I'd known him since I was just a young boy. I'd never had any real confident or really conversation with him, but I knew who he was. When I got through preaching, or while I was preaching this sermon, this man began to weep sitting on the very back seat. I remember he just put himself up over the seat in front of him and cried while I was preaching. He was a man of great influence in that denomination. And when I finally closed, he stood up and he said, if I may, and because of his influence, he certainly could, I want to close out this service. He walked to the pulpit. I was sitting in my chair already. And he turned and he said, son, where were you 50 years ago when I started in the ministry? He said, my ministry has been very small. My church is very small. I've had very little influence because I didn't hear this message. It was basically a message about God cares. It was a message I preached called Mastering the Ministry of the Empty Nets, about the joy of serving, not counting noses and figuring out how much good you are, but knowing that one sows and one reaps, but God gives the harvest. And I preached along that line, and it affected this old preacher so much that he was extremely emotional. Well, I was glad about that, and they requested I preach the same message in Robinson Memorial Auditorium in Little Rock a couple months later. But what was the most inspiring thing that happened, I received a letter from a woman that was in that service. She said, my husband and I pastor in the state of Washington. And she said, we've been there for a great number of years. She said, our church is a two-car garage. We've never been able to get funds to rent a church building, let alone build one. She said, we've only had about 10 people in our church now for these many years. And said, I've tried to be an encourager to my husband, but said, my husband got so discouraged. He said, nobody wants to hear me preach. I felt like God called me, but apparently didn't. I've had no success at all. And she said, that's the way he felt. So he said to me, he said, go visit your sister in Denver. And when you come back, we're going to give up the two-car garage. I'm going to get me a real job, and I'm going to quit preaching the gospel. She said, okay. So she said, I went to Colorado to visit my sister. My sister took me to the camp meeting. I heard your sermon. It changed my life. I went home and said, honey, I got a sermon. I want you to listen. He said, I've heard enough sermons. She said, I beg you, listen to one more. He listened to that sermon. It changed his life so much. He said, not only are we going to stay here, we're going to try to find a bigger building. Said, I realize now that I'm not here to count noses and see how many people I've converted. I'm just here to be faithful to the Lord. The Lord will give me my reward. And she said, now months have passed. We've moved into that larger building, and this past Sunday we had 200. Said, once he found out that somebody cared, everything changed. I don't care who you are in this building. I'm telling you, number one, Jesus cares. Number two, this preacher cares. Number three, that lady cares. Number four, this lady cares. This man cares. There's people all over this building that care about you. No matter what your burden is, no matter what the devil is saying to you, he is a liar. God is in this house, and God is saying, you will not fail because you are safe in the Father's hand. Ladies and gentlemen, when I see the world, well, all of its peril, I'm not alarmed, I'm not discouraged, I'm not fearful, because I know there is a God that sets high and looks low. I know there is a God that has made heaven his throne and earth his footstool. I know there is a God that still rules in the affairs of men. I know there is a God that sticketh closer than a brother. I know there's a God that will never abandon me. Though men cast me aside, God will pick me up again. God's always on my side. He's a liar. I tell you, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Not against this church, not against the church universal, not against you, not against your family. The devil is a liar, and all liars are losers. And the devil has lost you. You're already in the Father's hand. You're already in the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit's already in you and on you and through you. And he's in this building right now. Now, if you will block an ear and make it deaf toward the voice of the devil, and you will learn to listen to the encouraging voice of God, you'll get up every day. Day after day, it will get better. Your blessings will increase. Your joy will multiply. Your victories will mount up. There is such a God. Ladies and gentlemen, since I was a 10-year-old boy, I followed Jesus. 63 years, I followed Christ. The devil has lied to me every day, and every one of those lies have come to naught. I'm not only alive, I'm well. I'm not only well, I'm saved. I'm not only saved, I'm happy. I'm not only happy, I'm redeemed. I'm not only redeemed, I've overcome. That's what God will do for you. You say, not me, I'm a nobody. There's no bigger nobody in the world than I was when God picked me up as a little boy and said, I've got a plan for you, not to fail, but to be successful. And here I am saying, it works, it works, it works. Call on the name of Jesus. Plead the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. Look to the hills from which cometh your strength. Open yourself up to the Holy Spirit and say, my life has just begun.